Imagine deciding you want a sandwich. But instead of just going to the store, you go out to your backyard.
Right, to plant wheat.
Exactly. You plant wheat so you can eventually bake the bread from scratch. And for decades, that is like exactly what traditional computer programming has felt like.
Yeah.
You're building every single server, writing every line of back-end logic.
Structuring the databases from the absolute dirt up.
Yeah, it's meticulous, it is prone to human error, and it takes just an agonizingly long time. But today, we are looking at a fundamental shift in the tech landscape that kind of completely obliterates that old model. Welcome to today's deep dive.
It's an exciting one for sure.
We are using a recently surfaced 2026 interview Q&A guide. It's from a training institute in Hyderabad called Vibe Coding Masters, which operates under Brawley Academy.
Right.
And we're using this to decode a massive shift in how software is being built. Our mission for you today is to unpack the biggest tech buzzword of 2026, which is vibe coding. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, it is a phenomenal shift to witness. Because if we look at the precise definition from the guide, they describe vibe coding as a modern development approach, combining, no code and low code
Yeah,
tools.
and AI assistance.
Exactly. AI assistance and design thinking. It is an entirely new paradigm focused on extreme speed, creativity, and the user experience.
Right. So to go back to that sandwich analogy, if traditional coding is growing your own wheat, vibe coding feels like walking into a massive futuristic grocery store.
You're grabbing the best pre-made ingredients off the shelves.
Yeah, you're grabbing the absolute best stuff, and your job is to act as the head chef. You take all these complex components and assemble a gourmet meal in record time. But, why is this specific approach completely dominating the industry right now?
Well, the guide makes it clear that this isn't just a fun new trend. It's a hard business reality. I mean, it always comes down to resources, right? Businesses want faster results and they want to spend significantly less money and time.
Which makes sense.
Right. So this method allows developers and even marketers or product managers to launch fully functional digital products at lightning speed.
Wow, so you don't even have to be a traditional developer.
Not necessarily, no.
Yeah.
If a company can launch a scalable application in 5 days using AI builders, instead of taking 6 months with a massive engineering team, they're going to choose the faster option every single time. It fundamentally changes the math.
Which brings us to the actual mechanics. Like, now that we understand what vibe coding is, this rapid orchestration of AI tools, we have to look at how it works in practice.
Actual workflow.
Right. How do you actually build something when you aren't starting with a blank screen? The source material details an 8-step workflow. It goes research, planning, tool selection, design, build, test, launch, and optimize.
And what's fascinating here is that third step, tool selection.
Yeah, that really jumped out at me. Because before you even think about building, you have this highly formalized selection step.
We need to pause on that for a second because tool selection used to be a relatively minor phase. A team would pick a language like Python and just get to work. But in vibe coding, it is arguably the most critical architectural phase of the entire project.
Because you're surveying a massive landscape of AI builders and no-code databases.
Exactly. You have to ask yourself which specific combination of tools is right for this exact moment.
It's like casting the actors for a movie before you start directing.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right? Because you need the right tool for the right job, and the stakes are incredibly high. If you cast the wrong lead, the whole movie bombs.
That is a perfect way to look at it. The guide points out that a vibe coder might choose Figma for the design phase, but the overarching choices always hinge on project complexity, scalability, and speed.
So balancing performance with deployment speed.
Yeah, you are architecting a bespoke tech stack on the fly.
Okay, but let's dive into the technical reality of that. You are grabbing all these disparate tools off the shelf, like an AI to generate the front-end layout, maybe a no-code database for user profiles.
Maybe an automation tool to send emails.
Right. How do they actually talk to each other? Because if they can't communicate, you don't have an app, you just have a bunch of isolated software subscriptions.
And that is where API integration becomes the absolute lifeblood of vibe coding.
Application programming interfaces.
Exactly. APIs are the critical glue holding these projects together. Since you aren't building a single code-based system from scratch, you rely on APIs to allow these completely separate platforms to pass data back and forth.
So if a user clicks buy on the front-end AI interface, the API is the messenger running to the back-end database to check inventory.
Yep, and then running over to Stripe to process the payment.
That's wild. It's all invisible to the user.
Precisely. If you need to fetch data, trigger an automation, or authenticate a user, you rely entirely on API integrations to make those separate platforms function as one seamless product.
And the guide highlights this as a major interview topic.
Oh, absolutely. You cannot be a vibe coder if you don't understand how to route data between tools.
I want to push back on this a little bit, though. Let's play devil's advocate.
Okay, let's hear it.
If you are building this beautiful mosaic out of third-party tools and APIs, aren't you incredibly vulnerable?
In what way?
Like, what happens when those tools update and suddenly don't play nice together? Or worse, what if something breaks entirely?
That's the nightmare scenario.
Right. In traditional coding, you just dive into the source code and fix the typo. But here, if you didn't write the underlying code, how on earth do you debug a system when it goes down?
That is exactly the tension the source addresses. And it is why the debugging mindset has to evolve completely.
So you aren't hunting for a missing semicolon anymore?
No, not at all. Instead, the guide explains that the process becomes all about system isolation. You have to shift from being a traditional mechanic to being more of a systems investigator.
Which means what, exactly, in a technical sense? If I can't look at the code, what am I looking at?
You're looking at the data routing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you are inspecting API logs, checking webhooks, and monitoring data payloads to see exactly where the information dropped between tool A and tool B.
It is very much like a plumbing contractor trying to find a leak. You don't tear down the whole house.
Right, you check the joints and the pipes connecting the rooms. You break the overall problem into much smaller, manageable parts to isolate exactly which integration is failing.
Okay, so you find the broken pipe. But the source material has a pretty wild take on what to do next. They basically say, if a tool has severe limitations, don't waste time trying to force it to work.
Yeah, test different workarounds. And if it's a hard roadblock, you just drop the tool entirely.
Switch platforms completely. You aren't married to the code, you are married to the outcome.
It requires an immense amount of adaptability. You have to be willing to tear out a piece of your tech stack and replace it on the fly if it isn't serving the project.
But let's be real about the environment these developers are working in. The whole selling point of vibe coding is lightning speed.
Right.
So the expectations for turnaround times from managers must be absolutely brutal. Flexibility sounds great in theory, but when you have a furious client and a launch in 48 hours, you can't just flexibly research a brand new database.
That's a very fair point.
How does this methodology actually survive contact with tight real-world deadlines?
It survives through ruthless triage. The problem-solving strategy for tight deadlines in the guide is incredibly clear.
Which is?
Break the project into smaller tasks and prioritize high-impact features first. If the deadline is looming and a secondary tool integration is failing, you drop the feature.
You ensure the core functionality is delivered on time.
Exactly. The specific mechanism that actually solves the user's primary problem has to work, rather than getting bogged down in cosmetic features.
You save the patient first, and you worry about the plastic surgery later.
Perfect analogy.
But here is the paradox of that triage mindset. If you are ruthlessly prioritizing basic functionality and swapping out pre-built tools, what stops the final product from feeling like a robotic, clunky mess?
That's the million-dollar question.
Here's where it gets really interesting. This is where the developer's role seems to drastically shift from syntax to psychology.
That is a brilliant way to frame it, because AI and low-code platforms are handling the heavy lifting of the back-end infrastructure. The developer's cognitive load is completely freed up.
The technical burden has been lifted.
Right, so the human element takes center stage.
And the guide spends a lot of time digging into this human element, specifically differentiating between UI and UX, user interface and user experience.
They're very different things.
Yeah. We know that UI is essentially the coat of paint. It's how the product looks. But UX is the actual feeling of using it. Does it feel intuitive or does it feel frustrating?
And in vibe coding, the UX is your entire battlefield. I mean, an AI builder can generate a stunningly beautiful user interface in 30 seconds.
Perfect color palettes, gorgeous typography.
Exactly. But as the source points out, AI does not know how a human feels when an app lags for 3 seconds while fetching API data.
It doesn't understand the physical frustration of a navigation menu that is too small for a human thumb on a mobile screen.
The empathy gap. AI has no empathy, so the human vibe coder has to bridge that gap.
The human developer must rigorously enforce the principles of good UX.
Yes, and the guide details the technical mechanisms for this. designing mobile first, enforcing incredibly simple layouts, and relentlessly optimizing images for fast loading speeds.
Because the AI might suggest a complex, heavy animation just because it looks cool.
Right, but the Vibe coder has to look at the performance metrics and say, no, this will slow down the load time on a cellular network. Cut it.
It is fascinating to me that in a workflow entirely dominated by automated tools, performance testing with real, actual humans is emphasized so heavily.
You still need a developer to look at a heat map or watch a user struggle.
Yeah, to say, okay, the AI put the checkout button here, but human intuition says it needs to be over there. The value of the developer is no longer just in making the app function. It is in making the app a joy to use.
It is the human touch in an AI world. You are taking cold, automated efficiency and injecting it with human empathy.
So we have explored the methodology, the extreme importance of tool selection and API integration. We have explored the mindset, the triage during tight deadlines, and that empathetic UX.
We've covered a lot.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? If you want to leverage this, how do you actually prove to a hiring manager that you possess these skills?
Well, the guide gives a lot of practical career advice targeted specifically at 2026 interview prep.
And it's a massive wake-up call, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the absolute strongest warning the Vibe Coding Master's Guide gives is against rote memorization.
Interviewers in 2026 do not want textbook answers.
They simply do not care if you can recite the dictionary definition of an API or list the features of a specific AI builder.
Because the tools are going to change by next Tuesday anyway.
Exactly. If you memorize a software dashboard in January, it will probably be obsolete by June. That is why they place such a heavy emphasis on practical execution over theory.
You have to prove you can think on your feet.
Yes. The portfolio is the new resume. The guide advises freshers, people entirely new to the field, to focus immediately on building real-world projects.
It doesn't have to be the next major social media platform, right? Just a simple landing page.
Or a basic automation workflow that sorts emails for a local business. A small, complete project that solves an actual problem is worth 100 memorized definitions.
Because it proves you can evaluate tools, manage an API integration, and deliver a smooth user experience.
Precisely. But getting the interview is only half the battle.
Right. Once you are in the room, you have to actually articulate what you built. The source brings up the necessity of mock interviews, which I think is a brilliant, highly underrated piece of advice.
You need to practice explaining why you built something the way you did. That communication aspect is paramount.
You have to be able to sit across from a hiring manager and clearly articulate your tool choices.
Exactly. Like saying, I use this specific no-code database because it scaled better for the expected traffic, and I chose this AI builder because its API endpoints integrated perfectly.
And you have to be honest about the roadblocks. The guide warns that poor communication can completely ruin your chances, even if your technical skills are flawless.
They want to hear about the pipe that burst.
Right. If a tool limitation forced you to pivot, how did you handle it? Did you panic or did you isolate the system, test a workaround, and prioritize the core feature?
They want to see that you treat mistakes as critical learning data. They want developers who analyze patterns to prevent recurring issues and who can maintain their composure under pressure.
It is a striking reality that in a highly technical field, these soft skills like communication, adaptability, and empathy are becoming the hardest requirements for employment.
And maintaining those skills requires a certain kind of stamina. The final piece of preparation advice the guide stresses is consistency.
Right, because the landscape is moving so fast that trying to cram knowledge over a weekend is useless.
They argue for small, daily efforts, learning for a short amount of time every single day, and immediately applying those concepts to real-world scenarios.
It reinforces the reality that vibe coding is not a static body of knowledge that you can master and then stop studying.
No, it is an active daily practice. You have to follow the industry trends, experiment with beta tools, and constantly tinker just to stay relevant.
The toolset is in a constant, relentless state of evolution. Okay, we have covered an incredible amount of ground today exploring this 2026 landscape. Let's pull all of this together.
Sounds good.
Looking at the insights from the Vibe Coding Master's Guide, it is abundantly clear that vibe coding is not just cutting corners. It is absolutely not the lazy way out for people who don't want to learn syntax.
Far from it. It is a highly strategic, intensely creative orchestration of AI platforms, low-code databases, and deep design thinking.
The singular goal is to solve user problems as quickly and effectively as humanly possible.
It demands a rare combination of high-level systems thinking, technical adaptability to stitch APIs together, and a profound degree of user empathy.
You are managing workflows and constantly optimizing for human performance.
Exactly.
And honestly, even if you are not prepping for a tech interview in Hyderabad, and even if you never plan on building an app, the underlying vibe coding mindset is a superpower in almost any modern career.
Absolutely.
Ruthlessly prioritizing high-impact tasks when your deadlines are tight. Staying flexible and outcome-oriented when your standard tools break down. Treating your failures as essential data to learn from.
And above all, fiercely focusing on the end user.
Yes, the human being on the other side of whatever project or product you are creating.
Sure.
That mindset is universally applicable.
It truly is a universally powerful approach to modern work. But as we look at this massive shift toward high-level orchestration, it raises a lingering question that I think is essential to ponder.
Oh, what's that?
If vibe coding continues to evolve to the point where almost anyone can build complex, scalable digital products simply by directing AI and connecting pre-built tools, what happens to the foundational layers of our digital world?
That's a great point.
If everyone in the industry is acting as the head chef, merely assembling the pre-made ingredients, fewer and fewer people are going to understand how to write the deep underlying code that actually builds the tools themselves.
That is the ultimate tension. If everyone is shopping at the futuristic grocery store who is left knowing how to actually farm the wheat, it is a fascinating, slightly unsettling thought to consider as we watch this industry rapidly evolve. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the future of how we build. Until next time, keep exploring.